My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
If you have an attachment to this old world, it's going to hinder you from knowing the truth. Satan's allurements, the desires, the passions, the lust of the world are going to get in your way of knowing and doing what's right. You see, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, Satan is the god of this world. The Bible teaches in 1 John 2 verses 15 through 17 that if we will allow the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to get in the way, those things are not of the Father, and he who does them, the Bible says, is going to pass away with them. Hebrews chapter 11 teaches we need to put our trust in God. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the passing pleasure of sin. And so we today need to realize that worldliness, getting caught up in this old world, will ultimately cost us our soul. I want you to see the harsh language God uses to describe the worldly person. And picture yourself in this. If you're worldly, if I allow Satan and his allurements to get in my way, there's no way I'm going to know the truth. I'm going to be blinded by the world. Notice the words of James in James chapter 4 and verse 4. The Lord says through James, adulterers and adulteresses. Look at this. Spiritual adultery is what he's talking about. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself God's enemy. You see, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You can't have the world as your main goal and expect to know the truth. But let's shift gears for just a moment. Let's say that we get these hindrances out of the way. Let's say that we have in our heart a strong desire to only do what God wants us to. What are some helps, some things we could put to work in our life that would help us to know the truth? My friend, there are many things a person can do to come closer to the truth. But you couldn't find a better help in all the world to knowing the truth than having a good and honest heart. You want to be sure that you're on the right path? Then you have to change your heart. It's an attitude change. If you're really going to be a seeker of truth, one who has as his main goal to get to heaven, then you've got to have the attitude, a good and honest heart. I think of Proverbs 16, verse 18, how that pride often leads to destruction in the fall. We can't have pride in our heart. We've got to be like Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, when he cried out, Lord, what would you have me to do? We need the attitude of Jesus' mother in John 2, verse 5. She turned to the servants and said, whatever Jesus tells you, that's what you've got to do. We need the attitude of Micah in 2 Kings chapter 22. Whatever my God says to me, that will I speak. And I love the words of 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. You won't find a better attitude, a more humble and submissive attitude than 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. God had been crying out to Samuel, and this time he was told, you need to answer properly. You need to say this to God. And so he was told that, and here's what he said. When God cried out to him, he said, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Friends, if you're going to know the truth, you've got to have the attitude, God, I'm ready for you to speak to me. I want to hear, and I want to do what you tell me. Another help to knowing the truth is that you must be ready to prove and to test everything you hear. You'll never come to a good knowledge of the truth if you're not willing to separate truth from error by proving it. It doesn't make God mad when we try to prove what's right and wrong. Isaiah 34 and verse 16, God said, you search in the book of the law of the Lord and see if it's not true. We're to search, we're to find, we're to seek God's will. We are to prove everything. 1 John 4 and verse 1 says we're to test the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, we're to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. How can you prove what's right if you don't examine what you're told with Scripture? You see, here's the proper way to test and to prove everything. I think Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 kind of sets a standard, a banner for proving things. Look at these words in Acts chapter 17 verse 11. The Bible says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They heard the word. Someone talked to them about Jesus and the gospel, but they didn't immediately accept that. They took what they heard, and then they laid that down beside the Scripture. They took the Scripture as the final guide, and if what they heard lined up with Scripture, and they could prove it and test it, then they believed it, not because someone told it to them, but because it was true to the Word of God. Now, let me make this practical for you. Concerning proving and testing all things, let's test some doctrines of men for just a moment. Let's say that someone has said to you, or you've been told, that the Pope is God's vicar on earth today. That the Pope in Rome is God's spokesman, and when he speaks ex cathedra, he is actually speaking for Christ, and his law is like the law of God. My friends, let's test and prove that for just a moment. Is it right to call a man father? Matthew 23 and verse 9 teaches us it's not. Oftentimes, people will speak as a Catholic priest or the Pope as Father so-and-so. Did you know that's in direct contradiction with what Jesus teaches? Matthew 23, verse 9, Jesus said, "Call no man father." Now, He's not talking about an earthly sense, because the Bible uses the word father to describe earthly fathers. In a spiritual sense, you are to call no man father, giving him the honor, spiritual honor and glory that only God deserves. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 teaches us today that Jesus is our only spokesman. God, at various times and various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers, but has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus promised His disciples that when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, had come, He would guide you into all truth. We know that they wrote that truth down, and James 1:25 says, toward the end of the New Testament, we have everything we need. This is the perfect law of liberty. Let's test another doctrine of men. Some will say that it is acceptable for women to preach today. Now, don't get me mistaken. We don't have anything against women, against their value, against their role in the kingdom of God. But is it acceptable for women to preach today? The Bible says not so. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 could not be any clearer. Paul said, "I do not permit a woman to teach or be an authority over a man, but to remain in silence." 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 following, Paul said, "Let your women keep silent in the churches. If they want to learn something, let them go home and ask their husbands." My friend, you cannot hold that doctrine up against Scripture and prove it to be true. It is in direct opposition to what the Scriptures teach. Well, let's test another doctrine. Someone says, baptism's not essential to salvation. Oh, there's a multitude of religious people who believe that although you ought to be baptized because Jesus was, it is not something that is to be done because it's essential in an essential step in the plan of salvation. Well, let's hear what Jesus has to say on it. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." Jesus said both belief and baptism were essential to salvation. What about Acts 2:38? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." If baptism is for the remission of sins, and we're saved when our sins are washed away, how could we ever say that we're saved before baptism? That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21. "Baptism does now also save us." Well, there are so many doctrines today that we could look at, but this is a very important test, a very important help to knowing you know the truth. Take what you hear and test it and prove it according to the will of God. But friend, I want to suggest this to you also. If you're going to know the truth, you've got to be committed to studying the Scriptures for yourself. You'll never come to a knowledge of God's will until you make up your mind, "I can and I must get my own Bible out and study for myself." Stop believing what you've been told. Stop listening to other religious leaders. You decide for yourself. "I'm going to stand before God and give an account of myself. I better be studying the Bible for myself." That's the principle we're trying to get across. Look to the Bible and see, is this really what God wants me to do? Over and over again, this is what we're taught in Scripture. Paul said, "When you read, you can understand." Each person must read and understand God's will. Ephesians 3, verse 4. We are told to study to make sure we're right with God. Look at the words of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Here's the principle. Paul wrote to Timothy about studying, and he said this, "Be diligent," or as the King James says, "study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have got to get your own Bible out and study. Don't believe what anybody tells you unless it's found in the Scriptures. And then, my friend, another help is that you have got to be open-minded enough to accept the truth. Some people are not open-minded about truth. I think of a man in Acts chapter 18 who was. Oh, how I love the example of Apollos. That eloquent gospel preacher in Acts chapter 18, he was preaching what he knew, and he was preaching it valiantly. But he only knew the baptism of John. Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside, and they teach him more perfectly the way of the Lord. And when he saw it from Scripture, from God's inspired men and women, he was open-minded enough to accept it, and he went on to do great things in the kingdom. That's a lot different from some today. Some, when they are tried, when people try to teach them the truth, they get angry. They bow their back. They want to get into a defensive argument about it. Not Apollos. Apollos saw it from the Scriptures. He accepted it as truth, and he changed his ways. Now, be sure, we're not asking you to be so open-minded that your brains fall out. Some people are so open-minded that they just let the brain fall out and they don't think through things. Others are so closed-minded that they cannot be taught of God. We're asking you to find a balance today. We're asking you to be open-minded enough to say, if God's Word says it, I'll do it, regardless of what changes are necessary in my life. And so we ask you again, do you really know the truth? Are you sure that what you're doing is based on the Scripture? Are you sure that you're a part of the church Jesus built? Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Are you sure that denominationalism is approved by God? It's not. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13, that let there be no divisions among you. Some are saying, I'm Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I'm of Christ. And Paul said, let there be no divisions. Paul is not baptized for you. You're not baptized in the name of Peter. You're baptized in the name of Paul. And so in the name of Jesus. We need to be sure that denominationalism is a sin. We need to be sure today that we're worshiping God in an acceptable way. In John 4 and verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The truth is God's Word. We've got to put our spirit, our emotion, our zeal, our desire to honor God into it, but it has to be governed by the truth of God's Word. And most importantly today, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure right now that the things that you've done, you could prove from Scripture, are what a person must do to be saved? Or have you done what someone else told you? Have you followed the tradition of your parents? Are you sure you're right with God? Friends, this is something you don't want to have any doubt about. The Bible makes it clear that if a person is willing to believe in Jesus, believe so much so that he's willing to repent of his sins, change his life, confess the name of Jesus before men, and be baptized in water, he can be saved. In Acts 2:38, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Remember, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you sure you know the truth?